Yo, what's up, everybody? It is now 2023. Happy New Year. Welcome to the new year and welcome to the first episode of the new year of Skilled and Sober. This is episode 13, and I have my buddy Ryan here with me. What's up, dude? Thanks for joining me.
What's up? Yeah, definitely. What, 6 months in the making, basically, for this one?
Yeah, the life of a contractor in recovery doing well with his business.
Oh, yeah, never a dull moment.
Yeah. So what's up, man? Let's hear a little bit about how life is today, and then why don't we take it back to the beginning and see where it goes.
Right. So what life's today, as if anyone follows me, I'm now building a house from the ground up, and I lucky enough that one of my dad's very close family friend of ours is now walking out of construction of 40 years and now has taken me under his belt and is now guiding me through to be a business owner and helping me through it all. So with building this house, he's kind of shadowing me and making sure that, you know, letting me go. And then if I mess up or whatever, he's gonna be like, hey, you know, fix that. So I'm learning how to build houses correctly. And yeah, I've gone from grunt to contractor, business owner. It's still weird. I still can't wrap my head around that. Like, I'm wearing my company sweatshirt. Like, I can't. It still hasn't hit home yet, even though it's been a few months now. But
and that's cool that you have like a mentor, like someone that knows the trades, and we all need a good mentor. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the benefits of just being sober in itself is just for some reason from the day I got sober, everything just fell in place from then on out. Granted, there were weird and crazy things that absolutely happened throughout it, and I'll get into that. But just from where I'm at now to where I was before, my therapist, I was actually just talking to him, what was it, 2 weeks ago, because we've had all the holidays and whatever. And he's like, can I just say, like, from where when we first started talking to where you are now, it's two totally different people, basically. It's just, yeah. Sometimes I have to like sit back. It's something that I struggle with that I need to kind of work on. And my uncle's brought it up to me, who's also, he's 5 months ahead of me in sobriety. So he's like 3.5 years, that we need to take a step back every now and again and realize how far we have made it ourselves. Just to realize, you know, where we were to where we are now and appreciate how far and where we are in the moment, you know? I feel like a lot of people don't think about that. It's always looking forward and or struggling with whatever we did in the past. But keeping that moment here I am is also super helpful to realize, wow, you know, I am doing amazing.
Dude, totally. I get lost in that. I mean, we were just talking before we hit record on this, and it's like I've been so lost in the moving. I've been so busy. And so many good things are happening with my business that I've forgotten to just stop for a minute and be like,
appreciate the moment.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's very important to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, from the start of the chaos, I mean, it's funny too, because I actually, I just went out to dinner and met a friend of my girlfriend's who we haven't met before. She lives in California. She was in town visiting. And I kind of weirdly, loosely just did the same thing yesterday, but not as insane, I guess. So it probably, I'm trying to think like where would be a good ground starter. I mean, I was that, like in high school, my senior photo, like, you wouldn't think I was like I had eyes. I was high always, smoking weed always. I dabbled with alcohol here and there, but it wasn't like, you know, maybe it was a weekend or a friend's birthday that we tried to like sneak liquor from God knows where and whatever. But then got out of high school and then I started, where the hell was I? I started at like an online candy company. I was a shipping kid. I worked in the back, just like sending out candy and whatever. And yeah, that was kind of where like I just started smoking way more, because I was just like, oh, I'm not in school. I have no operations. All I have to do is just go to work and that's it. 9 to 5, see you later, whatever. And then I got into working with a movie theater company, which we built stages. We built basically the whole frames of the movie theaters, installed the screens, did all the sound paneling. And that was the first time I got into construction, got onto union sites, and did that for a few years, lots of traveling. So basically, you know, the whole time was like, all right, well, how am I going to bring my weed with me and make sure, you know, how one, I have that so I can always stay high whenever I damn well please. How am I going to fake out these drug tests? And after that, with the traveling, we were always out at bars. I worked with a couple of friends of mine who I went to high school with. So I was already very comfortable with my coworkers. And yeah, that was kind of where like, okay, weekends and like after work is like heavy drink time. And then after I got really bummed out, or I don't know, I didn't like traveling a lot, because all of a sudden, you know, I was like, I'm home for like maybe a total of 48 hours. And then I'm off like somewhere. I'm on North Carolina for 3 months. And then I'm in New York City for the next 2 months. It was just all over. And funny enough, my dad's friend at a Christmas party was like, enough of that. You need to get into construction. And I was like, interesting. He's like, yeah, come work with me. And I was like, okay. So jumped in with him. And that's when I was still just absolute pothead palooza and just didn't really care. I just wanted the cash and okay, cool. So worked with him for probably a year and a half. And then I forget exactly what happened, but I was like, I need to spread my wings. I need to go somewhere else. And then I ended up working for another company. And this company that I worked with had a crew of guys. There was like five of us. And one of the foremen made sure that we had happy hour at the end of every workday. He was like, it's a great, great way to end the day. You know, we'd work, bust our asses, and then we'd all come back to the shop, have a couple of beers, shoot the shit, unwind, and then we'd go off for the rest of our day and then see each other tomorrow. So God forbid if anyone barked at each other, we could all fix our grievances or whatever. And other than, you know, me already having alcoholics in the family already, I mean, in retrospect, that's literally what killed my father. But that happy hour was kind of the groundbreaking moment for me, where it was like, oh, okay, so this is construction. This is how it's going to go for a while. And I worked at that company for almost 4 years. And we went from, you know, after work, 1-2 beers, to before I quit, I was crushing almost 8 beers before I even left. And yeah, there were so many times where I'd be late for everything because I was still at happy hour. If anyone knew or whatever, looking at it now, holy shit, was that like the most fucked up, because I'm leaving work 8 beers deep, driving home. And like everyone else is like just leaving work. We'd get out at 3. I'd leave happy hour 4:35. So now I'm driving 8 beers deep throughout everyone else just leaving work. So like everyone's laying on their horns and freaking out. And here's me just like, oh, this is totally fine. But it definitely ended up becoming more of a downward spiral, because that at the same time I worked at that company, a few friends of mine started getting into coke. And then that's kind of where like, it was like, okay, this is kind of a weekend fun thing to do. And about a year before I left that company, I had the idea of, all right, you know what? I'm going to try to get into the Boston Union, try to make some good money. I have a few friends in it already. Let me see what I can do and whatever. So I was like, all right, you know what? I need to get there and start this process. So when I went to start the process, I realized you have to do a drug test off the bat. And I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. So I quit smoking weed, and that was a nightmare in itself, but I did it and passed a drug test. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, you know, it's going to take me about probably a couple weeks to get the acceptance letter. And then that's when I have to go run around and go find jobs. So that was like, all right, you know what? Just in case, I think I'm going to quit weed, not do it. And then that's when all of a sudden I was like, oh, so coke only lasts in your system for 2 days. All right, this is going to be some good stuff. And of course, the second I quit weed, my drinking went through the roof, because as a true addict, one has to supplement the other and one will go harder. So yeah, through the roof that went. And yeah, I mean, like I said, I'd leave happy hour 6-8 beers deep. And then now I'm coming home. Now I'm having a shower beer, maybe two. And then by the time I get out of that, now I'm going to go either grab another drink, and then I'm going to go off and go wherever the fuck I am. Almost a 12 pack deep before I'm like officially done, showered and ready for the rest of the day. Like, horrifying thoughts I think about. But once you know, coke started coming in more and more and more, then it was like, okay, I've had 3 beers. Now I need to snort something, because this is the only way I'm going to keep going for the rest of the night. And conveniently, a friend of mine who basically picked, an older friend of mine, not friends anymore, he would pick up for just the friend group. So he would always have it. Conveniently, his apartment was about 5 minutes from my shop. So I would have, and then that's when actually the beers decreased at happy hour. Or I'd have it on, I'd already have a bag on me, so then I'd stay later. But if I didn't, I would have 3, 4, maybe 5 beers if I pushed it. And then I'd hit him up while I'm at happy hour. And then I'd go over to his house, and I'd be at his house from 4 p.m. till probably midnight. And of course, his apartment also, we called it the frat house, because there was three guys, all in their mid-20s. And it, anytime there was anything, all of our friend group, we all convened there. So it was like all socially normal, I guess. It just the environment of what we were around and who we hung out with. And I talk about that out of all of those, I mean, there was probably 12 of us that all did it or hung out in that room. I think I still talk to probably 4 of them. That it just complete cut ties the second I went sober, because all of a sudden it was like, you don't want to get fucked up anymore? Well, we're going to stop calling you. And yeah, so once we had all that going and all the chaos and all that annoyance, whatever, I kept still thinking that I was going to get into the union. And then trying to remember when it happened, but at some point, basically from like 2018, everything just started going up. The more I started drinking, the more coke I started inhaling. And finally, my ex-girlfriend's brother at the time was a union laborer. And he was like, hey man, I definitely got the hookup for you. I'm working at the garden. Hit me up on this day, come in and I'll introduce you to this guy, guaranteed job, we're in. I'm like, all right, cool. So I go meet up with the guy, get in there. I talk to the guy, and the guy's like, all right, cool. Here's the deal. Basically, you'll come in next week and you do the little safety check, and then you come work for me. And when you work that one day, once I get that 8 hours in, I will be immediately, I'd be immediately into the Boston Union. I didn't need the acceptance. I didn't need anything. All I had to do was work at that job, pass everything. And I was like, mint, this is going to be awesome. Perfect. And I ended up going to a party the weekend before. Yeah, actually the weekend before, because I had to go in it Monday. And it was Friday. I think it might have been a Friday night or whatever. And I was at a friend's house. And I just remember I got way too drunk and I had to drive home, because I had to be in control and I could not, one, stay somewhere that I didn't want to stay at. And two, if my vehicle's there, I'm taking it home with me because that's just how I was. I don't know. But yeah, that kid who always had Coke on him was there at the party, and we were just like, and thinking on it too, it's kind of wild because I remember asking him for it and he looked at me and was like, don't you have the union thing on Monday? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, no, I know, man, but like, dude, don't worry about it. I'm totally square, whatever, everything's fine. And he was like, all right, sure. Well, like in retrospect, it's like, I can't blame him at all because pure addict, I'm going to convince this kid to give me it no matter what. But also every now and again in the back of my head, it's like, dude, wouldn't you be like, fuck you, dude. You're not, no. But anyways, here nor there. I did it. And then I remember, I think it was Sunday or something, I got an at-home drug test. I remember going down to Walgreens, coming back, taking a piss, watching that fucking cup, and all of a sudden watching Coke, like, almost like a friggin', like, turning on a light bulb. It was just like, whap! I was like, uh-oh, this is not good. Oh, my God. I turned around, went back into Walgreens. I bought every possible thing other than fake pee, because that didn't rationally come to my brain. And I tried to cleanse my system of everything. I think I was up until about probably 1:30, just flushing my system of God knows what. I had to wake up at 4:45 to get into this, into Boston. I'm trying to remember what, I don't even remember what time, but got in and I'm like sweating bullets because I know I'm already going to fail at this point. Get in, walk around the garden like 8 times because I still can't find the people. No one's answering their phones that I'm trying to connect to. And then finally, I meet the lady. She's like, all right, go for your piss test. And I was like, oh, dear God. That was the longest time of my life being in there waiting. And I just remember giving it to her. She peels the thing off. And even from a distance, after just peeing in my own cup at my freaking house, I watched that line go up and she's like, so this is inconclusive and we have to send this out. And I was like, oh boy. So that was when basically tail under my legs, I had to call my ex's brother and be like, hey, I failed. I had to call the guy that I was going to meet up with. Hey, I failed. Leave the garden. Mind you, it was also like $50 to park in there too, which that was even more of a punch in the face. And then I drove out and I called my ex at the time and I'm like, yeah, so this happened. And I can still remember her saying it. And she was like, so like, what are you going to do now? And it was almost as if like a light bulb just kind of like click, click. I was like, I gotta quit. I gotta quit fucking drinking. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I think I gotta do this. So I did. And that was the first day. That was utter rock bottom of absolute just like embarrassment. It took me almost a year to tell people what actually happened. I made up every lie under the sun to explain how it didn't work out, how they were actually full. I don't even remember half the lies I fucking made just to explain why I didn't actually make it, other than I failed a drug test because I was a raging cokehead. Because it turns out, as I'm sure you know, when you're doing well over a gram of coke a day and then who knows on a weekend, coke's in your system for 2 weeks, not 2 days. Oops. Yeah, so that all happened. I think it took me probably a month to actually gain the courage to, cause that, like that first month I went to a fucking wedding. Oh, that was the worst. Anyone listening to this, if you're under 30 days, maybe even 90, do not go to a wedding. That is the worst fucking thing you can do to yourself ever. I was sweating, looking at people next to me drinking like, oh, just give me it. Oh, so fucking bad. So bad. But made it through that. And then I think it was shortly after that, cause I ended up getting into a huge argument with my ex at the time. Cause I don't even know. I was just filled with all rage and everything. Cause I couldn't drink. I finally got into a meeting And I missed the meeting I went into. I kind of just like heard people talk. And then I was like, oh, weird. Like they didn't do chips or whatever. And then I heard somebody say about the beginning or meeting and whatever. And I was like, oh, okay. I got to look for something like that, which just meant I needed to go an hour earlier. Cause I used to do the beginners meeting. And then, what the fuck was the group? It was a freedom group after. So that was the next hour. And a lot of people would actually just do back to backs. So I made it in there. And then finally the second time I went there, I made it in early, and that's when they did, you know, anyone willing to be a sponsor, raise your hand. And, you know, me being judgmental and whatever, I was kind of like looking around, seeing, I see this kid, basically like the same flannel as this, sweatshirt, Red Wing boots. I'm like, yo, this kid definitely knows what's up. I'm going to go talk to him. Ended up talking to him. Big snowboarder. We share the same birthday. I'm like, okay, you're rad. Let's talk some more. So we ended up, and that's when all of a sudden, like me and AA kind of became a thing. And that's when we started talking more, started to do a little bit of step work. And now, by the time I failed that drug test, that was September 30th, 2019. I had 5 months before all hell was about to break loose of COVID. So I only had about 5 months of, AA to actually like appreciate and figure out what was going on and whatever. And actually that's how I became back into snowboarding all over again. I used to do it like once a year, but my sponsor at the time, he was a huge snowboarder, and he was like, hey, you know, winter's coming. Like, I love doing this. Let's do this. This is going to be something to keep us going. So it became a weekend tradition. Every Sunday we would go up to a different mountain, go snowboarding, whatever. Until I think 2 weeks before COVID hit, he shattered his collarbone. And then I started going alone by myself for a couple. Then COVID hit. And I'm trying to remember how it all played out, but I think it was probably about a month we were still chit-chatting. And then all of a sudden it was just like crickets on his end. And I was like, this is kind of weird. All right, whatever. And then at the time, because I quit the last job I was working with, because I was like, oh, perfect, I'm getting into the union. And then I failed my drug test. So I had probably about two weeks before I actually did anything, because it was literally like, after I failed that drug test, it was just 2 weeks of just like utter embarrassment, rage, and just anger towards myself of just like, I can't believe this all happened and everything. What am I going to do? Ended up calling my dad's friend again. And he was like, yeah, I could absolutely use your help. Please come work with me. So I worked with him till COVID. And he was like, he kind of does like a snowbird thing. So he left actually right before COVID hit almost. And then, he was like, yep, here's a job. You're going to keep running it, whatever, get this done. And, yeah, so that was pretty much all of that. And all of a sudden COVID hit, and I was about six months sober and just finished working with him. We finished the job that we needed to. And he's like, when I come back from Florida, we'll talk again and whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. That following day, after I finished that job, an old foreman of mine calls me and he's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm sleeping in. He's like, oh, I'm out front. Like, what's up? What's going on? He just started his own company and was like, and I told him everything that happened, whatever. Also, he's a recovering addict as well. And he was like, oh man, that sucks. Well, you want to start on Monday or what? Like, what's going on? And I was like, oh, okay. So hopped in working with him for the next year or so. And since he was in recovery, we usually, once a week, we'd always listen to can't even remember what podcast he put on. But we'd listen to a sobriety podcast and we'd talk about sobriety. And my own ego at that time was still running. Like, I wanted that fucking 1 year chip so goddamn bad. That's all I was focused towards. Like, everything else was kind of a blur. And I was like, no, I just want that chip. So I'm like gung ho for it. And probably about that time, yeah. So I was probably about 6-7 months sober. And then now we're in 2020. This is when all hell broke loose. So from 2020, my chaotic run started from staying sober, amazingly, to June my father dies. Let's see, June, he died from basically alcoholism. It was on the making. He was end stage liver disease for like three or four years or something like that, whatever. And then family put him in a nursing home so he couldn't drink, because I didn't know it at the time until way later, but turns out the only day he didn't drink was when was on Wednesdays, because I had a weekly dinner with him. So when I would see him at dinner, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, it must be his medication he's on. No, he was having severe DTs. He just wouldn't drink because he knew that was the day I was coming over and he didn't want me to know anything. And yeah, so we put him in a nursing home and he couldn't get alcohol and whatever. But we had him on hospice actually at the time, right before he passed away in the nursing home. But so July he died. And then, what was it, July, we had to put my dog down I think two weeks or a month later, a blue-nosed pit bull, beautiful dog, best thing ever. And it turned out that the adoption place that we got him from, it was just a whole nightmare thing. We loved the dog to pieces, but he was too dangerous. Basically, we could have him, but if anyone else came in the house, he was like foaming at the mouth and ready to kill. Horrible outcome of that. We had ended up having to put him down, and so many people I talked to try to fix that issue, but we couldn't. So that happened. And then October, my grandmother passes away, and October. Oh, so it was dad, dog. And then right 2 weeks before I hit 1 year sober, my ex-girlfriend's brother got murdered. So that happened. Yeah, I can't even make the shit up. So that happens. All hell breaks loose on that end. And now it's like absolute madness all around. 2 weeks after that happening, my grandmother passes away. Then now we're in October. To finish out the year, my stepbrother ended up killing his roommate. So like, 2020 was like the uttermost chaotic year of like my life, and amazingly I stayed sober throughout it all. Like, I don't know if it was like distraction after the next to just be like, I can't fathom what else is gonna happen next. But yeah, that whole hell chaos broke loose, and good lord, yeah, that happened. But it was right after my 1 year sober was when I made my Instagram page, because to my own knowledge, I'm clearly the only guy in the trades that's sober, because my entire life experience of everyone who I've worked with, know of, everyone's drug addicts, alcoholics, has problems with everything under the sun and whatever. So that's when my eyes completely opened, when I started meeting everyone else, including yourself. And then, yeah, we had that little group chat for a while. That was also a saving grace, because we always just chit-chatted in there every here and there. So that was kind of my little extra distraction of like right after 1 year sober, because you know, you get to that 1 year and all of a sudden now it's like, okay, I did 1 year, like now what? So we got to that, and then yeah, midst of a pandemic, trying to stay sober. I actually think that helped. I know it went both ways. It went either way for different people. I know people who went down a rocky road because they were in isolation. I think it was better for me because I was in construction, that I still had my generic, you know, I had to wake up at 6:30. I had to get to work by 7. Then I was out by 3 or whatever the hours I was doing at the time. But like, I still had that routine to keep me going. And then every day I had something else constantly going. I still had dinner at my grandfather's every Monday as per usual. I don't even remember what the hell I ended up doing, but inadvertently I set up every day during the week I had something going on to make sure that I had extra distractions after work to make sure that I still, you know, basically just like kept my brain going and didn't end up just stuck on the couch being like, uh-oh. So I got all that taken care of, and now I'm trying to think like everything else. Because that was really like the big chaotic spiel of it. But then I'm trying to remember. So one, two. So the second year was more of, I ended up leaving another job. One of the guys I worked with at the time got slow, started working for another guy, and they were close friends. So transitioned over to them, started working with them. And at the time, one of the guys who worked there, he drank, and he drank a lot. And it was almost like a mirror, I guess, working with him, where it was like, the longer I worked there, the more I saw all of the signs of like, okay, so this is like how I was. This is where, you know, 2:30 starts happening, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you start getting that light, and you're done with the day. You're mentally at home already drinking. And it's like, you know, the longer I worked with them and everything, it was just the more it was like, wow, like this is so chaotic, and this is the way I used to live. Like, how did I do that? The amount of stuff I would blow off just to make sure, or like if I finished work, wherever I ended up after that, that's where I was for the rest of the night because I was too drunk. I couldn't drive anywhere. Like, it just, and not only that, it's just misery. Just like everyone who I was with, we were all not happy. Just everything was terrible. And so it was kind of like more of an awakening throughout like my second year of just kind of like realizing, wow, okay, with what I'm doing now, this is so much better. Of like, this is what I should be doing, and this is why I should be doing it, because I'm literally looking at my outcome if I did not quit drinking. And yeah, it's just sad. It's kind of sad, you know. All of a sudden, you know, you wake up the next day and you're almost 60, and basically the only thing you look forward to is drinking that 12, 18 rack at the end of the day. It's like, yeah, no, that's not exciting, and that shouldn't be what you should look forward to anymore. Like, ugh. So ended up I worked there for almost a year. And then finally, it was just like a sign kind of happened. And it was just like, I can't work here anymore. I can't work with being with someone else who's at that level. It's like to being someone who's so sober. It's like, dude, we don't work well together. This is just too chaotic. And about that time, I reached out to my dad's friend. Funny enough, I don't remember what I was trying to do. I needed a recommendation for something, and I reached out to him, and he was like, hey, so what's up? What's going on? What are you doing? I was actually thinking about you. And I told him everything that was going on and whatever. And he's like, fuck that. He's like, you're going to quit that place. You're going to come work with me. We're going to you're going to work for me for a little bit. And then he's like, we're going to get you your CSL, which is my construction supervisor's license, which we were talking about earlier. So I can build in the state of Massachusetts. I can pull permits and basically be a licensed contractor to say that I can build, what is it? I think it was 35,000 square foot. That's my max that I can build up to before you get into like commercial and chaotic, whatever, God knows. So he was like, you're going to get that. And we're going to start getting you on track to start running your own business, because this is the path you need. And I see everything that you're doing, and you know, this needs to happen. I'm giving you this extra push because this is my way of giving back. And like, now we go all the way back to, you know, when I failed that drug test, and or even before that, when I was just miserable. I was a 9-to-5er. I was going in, I was literally working for the weekend. That's why I hate that fucking song, everybody's working for the weekend. It's like, fuck that, dude. No, like you shouldn't be doing that. You should be waking up in the morning and being like, fuck yeah, I'm going to work. I'm going to go crush this day. I'm going to go build some wicked cool shit. And yeah, granted, some days are absolutely going to fucking suck. Like I just said, my 2020 was a fucking nightmare. Every day was like, what's going to happen next? But you get past it. Those bad days fucking suck. Yeah, but like, you know what? Now I'm not a fucking grunt anymore. I'm not getting barked at by older dudes because they're miserable with their lives and dealing with their shit. No, I'm actually learning how to build a house as a business owner now. So it's like, yeah, live in the moment. Because all of a sudden it's like, even spilling this all out, it's like, okay, I'm now realizing like where I was to where I am now. And the happier aspect of it, through the roof. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to like sometimes explain it all out, but to be where I was to where I am now, and even as that kid beforehand, if I told him where I'd be with everything, I wouldn't have believed it. I was still miserable. I'd probably still joke and be like, oh yeah, well, I'm an alcoholic, you know, whatever, like nothing really matters, whatever. But it's like, it does matter. And like, yeah, it's so much better being sober. Plus, I ended up quitting cigarettes too. There's another addiction fucking out of there. I think I'm like a year and a half now without those. So much money saved. So much money. I'm trying to, like, my sober app, I gotta fucking look that up. Every now and again, I always look at it and I like shit my pants every time. So as of now, let's see, 1,188 days. And I've saved $47,000.
You wanna hear something funny?
Here's probably horrifying.
It's funny that you just brought that up because I looked at mine yesterday, and it was I'm 5 years and 1 month, and I've saved $347,000.
It's so gross.
My habit of drinking and doing coke and smoking cigarettes was like 200 plus a day. So,
yeah. And there's the other thing too. It's like, so at the time, you're still a business. You were a business owner when you were doing most of that stuff. I was still a fucking grunt. So I was overdrafting like every fucking weekend. Oh my God. Thank God my buddy had the stuff, because it was literally like, oh yeah, just front me it. I'll pay you back in like 2 weeks. Like I'm counting on that Christmas bonus because like I really needed it to pay him back. Like, oh my God, the stress of everything, of living that life of like, fuck, when am I going to get that? How am I going to get home? Hopefully I don't get a fucking DUI. I actually just thought about this the other day, and weirdly enough, it still haunts me here and there, and I don't know why, but there was a Christmas party a few years ago, and I must have still been smoking at the time, because I had one of those fucking weed pens where it was literally like knock your ass out from like one hit. But at the time, I got almost blackout at the party, and that fucking weed pen almost sent me over the edge too, aligned with it. And I just remember all of a sudden it was like 12:31 or something like that. And all of a sudden, like everyone left, and I was like, whoa, whoa, party's over. Like, I'm still ready to go. Like, what's up? I hit up my friend who also from like where the Christmas party was in our shop, like he was like maybe 10 minutes away. So I hit him up. He didn't answer back quick enough. So all of a sudden I was like, this was one of the only times that I actually did it too, because every other time I always had coke with me. So I was like, oh, if I'm driving home, all right, I'm totally, totally fine. Which I just recently read too. It's, you're still absolutely plastered. I don't understand how coke fixes your like vision, but that's all it does. It doesn't do anything else. It just makes you a little bit more aware. You're still fucking gonna blow God knows what. But I didn't have any of that with me. So I just remember saying bye to everyone and being like, hopefully I got home, and literally one eye and drove. I think I made it 3 or 5 minutes down the road to the point, thank God, my own background, whoever was watching over me at that point was like, stop. And I was like, okay, I totally need to relax. And I pulled off a side street, found a little spot next to like a fence where clearly cars have parked if they're ever visiting someone. And I remember cracking my window because I was like, if I pass out, I might die if the car's running. So, and I remember going for the keys and then waking up and it was 5 a.m. and my car's still running. And I was like, oh, pretty sure. And I'm at this point too, I'm still drunk. Had to have been because I was annihilated before. I think I fell back asleep, woke up at 7 and drove home. And that night is still like one of the scariest things because that's a night. One, if I got caught, DUI right off the bat. That, oh my God, worst thing ever in the world. And that, who knows where that would have put me. And then two, that also makes me think, one, I'm not the only person that's done that. And two, think about how many other times you're driving home late to find out that that is someone else who's driving on the road. Like it hasn't happened recently. I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it might have been, my sister lives up in New Hampshire and we were driving back. I think it might have been Thanksgiving or something like that. We were driving back and oh my God, we were somewhere up north and we were coming back and we actually watched someone like straight up swerve. I think it might've been like 10:30 at night. Someone was straight up like switching lanes. Like they have no idea where they are. And just seeing that all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like that could have been me. And not only that, it's just like, I don't know. It gives me chills now to think about like that. At one point I was like, you know what? I'm totally fine and I can totally drive where like I'm endangering not even myself, but literally everyone else on the road. And like, that's scary to have like that mental confidence when you're annihilated like that. Ooh. Oh, freaks me out sometimes.
Yeah. And to think too, cause I did that all the time. I mean, there was times I don't even remember. I would just wake up and check outside to see if my car was there or my truck and go outside and give it the once over to make sure I didn't hit anything or anybody or didn't have any dents. And then on top of being annihilated while driving, I had cocaine on me. So if I got pulled over, not only was I getting an OUI, I was going to go to jail.
You're arrested.
Because I never had small bags of cocaine on me. They were always very large. So it's like, oh, so you're selling drugs and you're drunk. Yeah. Insanity, man.
I don't know why that sparked my mind. We had a time, a friend of mine, they did a Jack and Jill bachelorette party and they did it down in North Carolina. Me and another friend of mine were on our way to Logan. We are walking in, we were smoking a cigarette out first and all of a sudden we almost at the same time opened our wallets and started to dig through, basically trying to check that we did not have cocaine on us and or anything of residue or whatever. So TSA isn't going to fucking arrest us so we can make sure we go down there. Like, what? It's so insane to have like that concept to be like, oh, hang on. I got to check real quick. I might have drugs on me that I forgot about. Oh my God. Life of chaos. Just all utter chaos. Ugh. Ugh.
The one thing about cocaine is you usually don't forget you have it.
I know. Well, usually it always ends up disappearing. Oh yeah, God.
Exactly.
But like, oh my God, it was just frightening at the time. But now it's like, I don't know. It's funnier now because I like to joke about it way more. I follow so many like dark humor, dark Instagram pages that are like all sobriety memes and whatever. Some of them are so horrific, but there's a few of them, at least two I can remember, Fucking Sober and Brutal Recovery. Those two pages are probably some of the funniest memes I've ever seen in my life. The both of them, I think they're both in Europe too, actually, but it's funny because the stuff that they post, it's more like, I'm not the only one who has had these thoughts, this experience, or just like different chaotic things that happen throughout your life. And all of a sudden it's like, these guys are just posting them on memes of just being like utter chaos of alcoholic brains. And it's like, it's almost like a sigh of comfort to be like, thank God I'm really not the only one that had that fucking thought at one point to be like, yeah, that was a bad idea. I'm glad somebody else had it too. Because I mean, I'm thinking about like when you go into AA meetings and whatever, they're like, you know, don't relate to the stories and, you know, try to take it with a grain of salt and whatever. And I just remember going in the first time being like, I relate to fucking everyone here and every story I've heard. I can like, yeah, I did all of that too. All of that. Granted, some people have definitely had some horror stories that led them down horrible spirals where at least it's like, okay, at least I didn't end up homeless, like shooting heroin in the back alley of a corner. Like, thank God that didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, it makes me think every now and again, like if I didn't fail that drug test, if I did make it in the union, like where would I be now? And I tell you, I would be fucking miserable with my life. Absolutely miserable. I would have no appreciation for anything. And I'd be working literally for the fucking weekend. And it's like, you can't, life is too goddamn short. I keep having more epiphanies, like as I'm like, the longer I'm sober, of realizing like, or also too, it's like I'm turning 30 in fucking 2 weeks. It's like, you know, I'm growing up now. I don't have that like conscious thought anymore of just being like, oh yeah, you know, like let's go fucking party. And I mean, tonight, granted this is for the new year, but it's New Year's Eve. You know what I'm doing? I'm staying fucking home in my pajamas and we're gonna watch a movie and make nachos. Like, fuck yeah.
That sounds like a good New Year's Eve.
Like, dude, I've already had like a few friends of mine being like, bro, what's up for tonight? And I'm like, fucking pajamas. Like, have fun with whatever you're doing because I'm not doing it. I'm going to be in bed at a reasonable hour. I am sleeping the fuck in and I'm just going to relax. Oh, one of the other beautiful things about being sober, I could afford a fucking Tempur-Pedic mattress. Let me tell you, I sleep like a baby now. Oh my God. It is the greatest purchase I've ever done in my life.
I didn't even like New Year's when I was drinking. I always called it amateur night. Yeah. That's what Megan and I, since I got sober, even before I got sober, we never really did anything, but she hates New Year's. So we're just,
not
we're
just even that out. Too. Say back to the same concept. What I was just talking about.
It's dangerous.
Tonight is like one of the most dangerous nights to be on the road because you have every fucking asshole leaving the bar. And like Boston too, for New Year's, I think they stay a little later because for my first year sober, because I couldn't think and all I knew was everyone else was having a New Year's Eve party. And in my brain, I was like, I don't want to be fucking home. Like, fuck that, whatever. And here I am now 3 years sober. And I'm like, fucking yeah, I'm home. But I ended up doing a New Year's Eve jam band show that happened at the House of Blues. Honestly, it was fucking awesome because I always wanted to do a New Year's Eve show and I did it sober. So I remember the entire show instead of doing God knows what I could get my hand on and research chemicals. And now fentanyl's going around and like, fuck that. But like doing that, like that night after leaving the show, I think we left the show at like 2 a.m. and I had to drive. We were driving back to our friend's place in Revere at the time. And that was one of the scary, cause I was sober, was one of the scariest drives I've ever done because like everyone was driving like psychopaths. And it's like, none of that, none of that. But now it's like, yeah, I'm just gonna stay home. I have no desire to do anything. Plus, we just had all the holidays. Yeah, Thanksgiving, and then all of a sudden it's Christmas, and I'm so drank with family and just everything. Yeah, I'm gonna stay home. I'm gonna stay my ass in bed. it's just absolutely, absolutely chaotic. Of just like all the shit that I used to do all the time, and also same with like living in the moment too. It's like to realize a lot of the stuff that I have now too, where it's like, you know, I used to have an old shitbox. I now drive a 2015 Tahoe. I now know when I wake up in the morning and I start it from my bedroom, it's going to start. Like, my God, the amount of times where I had just shitbox. I had a shitbox diesel at one point where literally it was like, especially during the winter, I was that neighbor, like the yeehaw, like filling the turbo with absolute everything of ether, trying to get it started. It's like an old locomotive just dumping smoke everywhere of my neighbor's house, like screaming because it's not, it's 6 a.m. It's not starting. I'm sweating. Like, you know, no, I wake up in the morning. I start my truck. I make my coffee. Oh, that was the other thing. Before, I literally, and I don't know how I did it, I would wake up and I'd be out the door in 5 minutes. When I was still like living a chaotic life of madness, I would wake up, literally piss, brush my teeth, and fly out the door. And I would raw dog life until 9 a.m. at coffee break, stinking like alcohol, just smoking every freaking cigarette I could possibly get down. Now, if I don't leave my house without my coffee, I'm miserable. It's so chaotic. It's so chaotic of just like all the stuff that I used to do beforehand to where it's like, now I have like this nice routine of just, yeah, just like all weekly stuff and little things that I look forward to now, where instead where it was like, you know, nope, I don't care. It's Wednesday. It sucks. I can't wait for Friday to be here already. So then I can just drink and then start all over again on Monday. Because when I started it, actually, I can't even say if it was a weekend, the weekends was Friday after work, crack, and I wouldn't stop drinking until Monday morning. And that's just how it worked. That's how it went for Jesus Christ, probably like, I don't know, 6-7 years strong of just like utter hell and chaos. Just miserable, just everything of just things I think back on. It's just like, oh, awful stuff. To now it's like, okay, I'm a business owner. And now I'm like, now I even have more distractions too. Cause now it's like, okay, now I got to learn how to build a house correctly, how to learn how to do, you know, all the management aspects of it too. And now think about, you know, later on when I have employees and how everything else is going to roll around, you know, now we're probably thinking that we'll probably be looking for some, probably, hopefully like a laborer of sorts. I mean, it's impossible now because now apparently no one wants to work in blue collar anymore because everyone has these fucking little things and they do Zoom. And like half my friends that I talk to, they're like, yeah, I didn't get out of my pajamas today. I'm like, dude, what? Like, yeah, I worked all day. I'm like, no, you did what? No, you didn't. Like, go outside. Get like, definitely a downfall of what COVID created was it made more people comfortable working from their home. Where it's like, we need more people in the trades. I know so many, and it's not even just us. I know a lot of other guys that I talk to, like at our local lumberyard, where they're like, yeah, we're starving to pick up kids right now because no one wants to do it anymore. They don't want to do the backbreaking labor, or I don't know. There's something so fulfilling about starting with a hole in the ground and all of a sudden, like what? We'll hopefully be done 6-ish months. By the end of that, now you got to stand back and be like, boom, I built this bitch. Like that, even that in itself, I think there's got to be something about that with sobriety and like construction of like having that because we get that reward at the end.
Well, it's all about having a solid foundation, man.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden we start from nothing. And then now a month or a year, depending on how chaotic the house is, boom, there it is. This is what I built. I did this. And then you get to walk away with that confidence to be like, this is what I built. And I know it will stand for, I remember my dad's friend actually said that the other day, because the town I live in, I'm trying to remember, one of the oldest houses in the town is from 1650. So like, we have a lot of historic homes in the area. And he was like, this house, when we're done, will, you know, when we're gone for probably about 100 years, we'll have a plaque on it saying that this is a historic home. And all of a sudden it kind of like, I stood back a minute where all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, that's right. Like some of these houses that we build will be standing for who knows how long. I mean, there are some, like I said, 1650, that house is still stand. It is wild and the headroom may kill you, but like they're still standing. The house I grew up in was built in 1810. Like things I never thought about until like later on in life. It's like, oh, that's why the stairs were like, oh my God. I think the treads may have been 5 inches on a good day. Like you had to sidestep it to get up the stairs with like a rise of like probably 10 inches. So it was like, ooh. Oh yeah. If you missed one step, you're dying. You're going down the whole way.
Yeah. We're building a lot better than we used to. So it's like, if they're standing from that time, then they're definitely going to be standing from where we're building them today.
Yeah. It's cool things to think about where all of a sudden it's like, okay, like some of the stuff I'm doing now will stand for a long time, even after I'm gone. It's just like having that little bit of gratification where it's like, you know, all right, this is actually pretty sweet for what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, dude, the trades are totally dying right now. There's not enough people. I can't find any young people up here to work. It's fucking sad, man.
It's wild. Yeah. It's absolutely wild. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's like not enough push of it in schools and stuff like that, or I don't know, but it's just like, it seems to be, I don't even want to call it a dying trade because there are kids out there, but it's just like, we're just going to freaking find them and the ones that are willing to actually put up with the chaos. I mean, there's definitely a huge difference too now where it's like, you know, I mean, my dad's friend who I was talking with, he's like the guy who I first started working with. He's like, if you didn't listen correctly, he's like, he was throwing hammers at you. Like,
no, oh, yeah.
Yeah. The OG guys were like frightening to work with, but now it's a little bit more, you know, taken back. There's more. And it's funny too, because there's a lot of stuff where like me and him will go back and forth where he's like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. And like, I step back and I'm like, no, it's not. Like, we're the new generation of carpentry where like before it was get it done as fast as possible and try to make as much as you possibly can while you're doing it all. So it's like go mode. And now it's like, okay, hang on. Let's take a step back. Let's make sure that we'll be able to walk in the next 20 years and not lift that steel beam with just two of us.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy with some of the stuff that like some of the first of all, they used to hand bang all these nails. Oh, you imagine framing a house and hand sinking all those nails? Yeah, no, that'd be so. Now we have cordless guns. Like, oh my God, I just picked up one of the DeWalt worm saws. Oh, that thing is wild. I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah,
we've always had the sidewinders, and now all of a sudden I pick up a worm saw, and it's like, oh, wow, this thing's got balls.
Rear handles are the way to go. That's all I use. I don't even like sidewinders.
Yeah, like new things that like I've never even encountered. Especially what I just got myself for Christmas. I got the DeWalt pin nailer. Like, yeah, super nice. Stoked on using that. Like cordless everything. It's amazing half the stuff that we can get now.
I need to pick up that pin nailer. I have two kitchens to do this winter, and I want to use that for all the crown mold I got to do.
Yeah, it's unbelievable with like the advancements, at least too, with like where we are. And that's another thing too, with like working with those vintage homes and everything. It's, you know, you get to see from where we first start, like some of the wildest ideas of how these guys built things to how we build them now too. So like that in itself also gives you a little bit of appreciation of what we do too. Right. But yeah, it's definitely, I just realized I got totally off the topic of sobriety, but I just went into construction completely.
Oh, no, it's okay. We're going to wrap up here shortly anyways, but I would like to say that, you know, coming from where recently I just came from, where I had like this awakening of in sobriety, like my mental health was crappy. I've heard you say, you know, distractions and you're getting busy and this is all great things, but just remember, and I'm saying this out of my own experience because I literally just went through it. Just remember to not get too distracted, to not work on like something for yourself and your sobriety, and don't just have sobriety. Focus back on recovery, because recovery is way more important than just being sober. Like I was for the last 3 years, I was saying, I'm sober, I'm not thinking about drinking, I'm good. And I was not good. And I kept saying that. And I stopped working a program, and I got busier, and I got more stressed, and I got more angry. And I started acting like the person I was before I got sober, but I was sober. So the only thing that was missing was a bottle. And it was only a matter of time. I don't know when it was going to happen. And I want to pretend like it wasn't going to happen. But if I kept doing what I was doing, because I was doing nothing but working, it was only a matter of time where I got in that situation where all of a sudden I'm fucking drunk. So just like fucking recovery is all I have to say. Don't get too distracted where you take your focus off. Cause I just did it. And it wasn't like, dude, I feel like I relapsed, but I didn't. But like, I'm diving back into the work. Everybody's got their own program, whatever it means. I'm going to do what I'm going to do, cause it worked for me before. But that's all I'm saying. Just don't get too distracted and forget. Cause we as addicts have built in forgetters.
Oh, yeah.
And we forget. Once times get good, we start focusing on everything that's good, and we forget when it was bad and what we did to make it good. We start focusing on only what's good and not what was before. So like, dude, I was there, man. You didn't follow me at first, but it's like when I got sober, I had my dad's Toyota Venza that I was working out of, which the first two jobs I got after I got out of rehab got me cash, and I bought my 1996 Ford F-150 that had every fucking panel dented on it. It looked like someone kicked the shit out of this truck, and every morning I was hoping that it would start, and then I would get to red lights and sometimes it would die, and I would have to fucking pray to God, and I would, because I prayed a lot then. I would pray to God, like, just please start this truck so I don't have to get this thing towed away. And that was, you know, that was 8 months, and then I got another truck, and then I got another truck, and now I have, you know, a fucking badass truck. But it's all materialistic shit, man. All that external stuff just doesn't fucking matter. And if that's what you're looking for to make you happy, then something internally is wrong with you. And I was looking for materialistic things to make me happy again, which is what I used to do before I got sober. And that should have been a red flag, but I tried to ignore it. Like, I ignored all these things. So like just in the last week, dude, like I sat down with my sponsor yesterday and we were having lunch, and I said to him, I said, I'm just glad I didn't throw those 5 years away. And he said, fuck your 5 years. He said, it doesn't matter how much time you have. He said, it's one day at a time. He said, there's people that have 35 years of sobriety and I wouldn't want to drink a fucking cup of coffee with them. And he goes, and there are some people that have 30 days of sobriety and I would totally fuck with them. So it's like, yeah, it's cool like to have 5 years and 3 years and 20 years, but all of that stuff, it's just time. We have one day. We have today, man. Like when he said that, when he said fuck your 5 years, I was like instantly like resentful. I'm like, no, fuck you and your fucking 8 years, you motherfucker. But then I was like, he's so right, man. Like because if I'm not doing anything for my sobriety today, then it doesn't matter. Like I can't stay. I have it written in my big book. I can't stay clean on yesterday's shower. So it's always like,
ooh, what? That's good.
Yes, it is good. It's a good, it's right there. It's yeah. So it's like,
I have my sobriety date on my, when I open my big book, it's right there. So I just remember.
Dude, I have it on my hand and I still forgot, dude. Just remember that. Like, it's tattooed on my fingers. It's the fucking one. It's my dominant hand that I swing a hammer with. Like, so I'm just like, dude, I got distracted. That's all. Like, and you're a fucking good dude and look, fucking awesome shit's happening. So just like, never forget where you came from. And if you ever find yourself like slouching or not doing something, call me, call somebody, get your head back in the game, clear your head, pray. That's all I got to say.
And even before, just really quick too, because that just kicked in my brain when you were talking about all that, that I finally had the experience where, you know, every meeting you're in, where everyone, the one guy comes up and he's like, I'm up here, I'm sharing. And the only reason why I'm up here and I'm sharing is because my addiction's out front doing push-ups, waiting. And I never understood that until actually 2 days after I hit 3 years sober. I was demoing the kitchen and we're cleaning everything out. And all of a sudden I found a fifth of gin, half drunk, whatever. And I made a joke about it and I was like, oh, look, ew, gross. And I put it down. My dad's friend left. Just me working alone. No one else is in this job. And I'm cleaning everything else. All of a sudden, I looked at it and I saw it there. And in the way back of my head, something went, do it. Grab it. And all this, like within that instant, it left. But the fact that it happened, I picked it up. I threw it out into the dumpster. And I sat down. I called my uncle and I was telling him whatever. And basically, it's there it is. No matter what number you have, where it is, wherever you are, it's still floating and ready to attack at any waking moment you want to ignore it. It really set me back for a minute, for a good like 15 minutes. I had to like sit down and regain myself to realize like what just happened, because there I was like, yeah, I made 3 years, and within friggin' 48 hours, I got slapped in the face being like, guess what? I'm right here waiting for you at any time.
We are never cured. Like when I hear people say, oh, I used to be an addict, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, you're always an addict. There's no used to be. You are an addict for the rest of your life. It's a matter of how you want to deal with it, you know? Mm-hmm. So. And I can tell, and I can assure you that being dry and becoming a workaholic is not that fun. So it's way cooler to be happy, positive, go to some meetings, socialize with other sober people. Just don't let that go on the back burner, because I totally did it. And I'm really, really thanking God every day right now that I didn't go out, because I have way more to lose now, dude. I have a 4-month-old son sleeping on my wife right now. I have a house that I built with my own bare hands. I have all these things that I always dreamed of. And it's like, I was totally okay with just like forgetting that and being like, oh, I got this $3 million custom. Like, this is the top priority. And it's like, no, it's not. Because the only reason I have that is because of what I did before. You know what I mean? So it's like, I just totally forgot. I'm going to real quick, and then we're going to end it, because we've gone way over time, but it's all right. This is why we do these, because sometimes we will go over time, like, and that's okay, because clearly we need to talk and that's good. But I have a brand new customer that just signed on to build. I'm building her house in the spring, and she follows me on Instagram, and she's an older woman. And I had a meeting with her yesterday at my lumber yard to look at the plans and finalize some things. And she's like, I saw your Instagram post. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I always forget that my customers follow me. Like, you know, I'm so vulnerable and I throw everything out there. So like, now they know. And she's like, I saw your post. And she's like, she took my hand and she put a book in my hand. And she said, I love this author. She's in recovery and I think you should really read it. And I was just like, fucking like God slap, like, right? You know? But dude, that's what being vulnerable. Sometimes it's good to be vulnerable, because situations like that, like I had just said to Megan that morning, I'm like, I need to start reading again. Like, I'm on my phone too much. I watch too much TV. Reading is good for your brain. It's good for your mentality. It's good for a lot of things. And I'm like, I need to start reading again. And then she's like, I think you should read this book. And she put it in my hand. And I'm like, oh, there we go. Now, so it's like this morning I started to read it and it's a really good fucking book. You know, as long as you keep your mind open and you stay willing, you, all these things that there's no coincidences, everything happens for a reason. The longer we stay sober, the more we'll realize that. So
everything falls into place from the second everything just started, just like how you said the book landed in your hand. Everything just kept happening, one thing after the next. All of a sudden I was like, whoa, like where did this all come? It just, doors open of goodness too.
Right. Don't forget to thank your HP, whatever it is. If it's a fucking orange sitting on your kitchen counter, I don't care. Just don't forget to thank it. Absolutely. All right, dude, we're going to close down on this, but I friggin' appreciate you finally getting on.
Right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And where can everybody find you on the old Instagram?
The Sober Carpenter.
That the only is one too. You're the only one.
Yeah.
Do you have a TikTok or anything?
No, I did it for a minute, but then all of a sudden I got the new phone. And I was just like, no. And that's another thing too. Like I'm trying to, like, I noticed that. Yeah, we're addicts. That's what would happen. All of a sudden I noticed, like, boom, I'm on my phone for way too long. So I think Instagram's me. I need to stay there. If I get anything else more, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, now I'll never get off my phone.
Right. You want to know what I did starting like 2 weeks ago? I actually set up a timer, as pathetic as it sounds, but I am an addict. I set up a timer. So I'm like, this is my allotted time to be on social media for the day.
Yep.
And when that hits you, you'll be like, holy fuck. Like sometimes that time happens, like, cause I get up early. I get up at 3 a.m. with our son and feed him. Yeah. And that's when I start drinking my coffee. So it's like, I have plenty of time to be on my phone, and it'll be like all of a sudden, like 6 o'clock. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what the fuck? Where the, you know? And it's like, you have 5 minutes left of the day. I'm like, wait, what? So that's been helpful to me, because then I've worked on it. And now it's like, now I have a little bit of time in the morning and a little bit of time at night, but it's like, I'm also focusing more on this, because I feel like this is way more important for you, for me, for everybody listening. And Instagram has gone down the shitter. It's not what it used to be. Yeah. It used to be, you know, cool and a community. And now it's like, how many likes and real views can you get? And who wants to be an
troll? You're feeling wrong. I've been doing this for 10 minutes and you're doing it wrong. It's like, what?
Right. What? Yeah. And everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody.
Brutal.
And I got roped into that shit too. But that's a whole nother fucking episode. So I appreciate you getting on, man. Congrats on your 3 years. It's awesome. I remember I don't even think you were a year when you first reached out to me. So it's been really cool to see the growth. I think that's one of the best things about sobriety and getting to know people, is you see them what they were, and as the years go on, you see the growth. And I mean, look at you now. You were a grunt laborer fucking stripping roofs, and now you're building your first house on your own with your own company. So it's a true testimony of what can happen if you focus on your recovery. So again, appreciate it, man. We'll chat soon.
Word. Thanks for having me.
Later, buddy.
Bye.